Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We're back, second hour of the National Intel Report on this Friday, 7th of June, 2019. And I was waiting for the outcome of this. Remember in New Zealand, we had that that terrible shooting down there. 50 people shot and killed. And I've been waiting here. How are the people in New Zealand going to react to this gun ban? Well, I got my answer today. Citizens disobey New Zealand gun ban. 530 people of 300,000 people actually turned guns in. And after New Zealand banned people from having guns in reaction to the terrible shooting in March, almost everyone is refusing to obey the law. In March, New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern announced the first tranche in a number of moves to restrict the rights of New Zealand citizens to protect themselves with firearms. This move was in direct response to the horrific murders that unfolded on March 15th. Coincidentally, this is the exact move the terrorist who carried out these attacks had hoped for and predicted. The good news is, however, most citizens are refusing to turn in their guns. And the story refers to this guy as not just being a wingnut or a murderer, but a terrorist, yeah, who murdered 50 people earlier this year, was engaging in a classic propaganda of the deed in which he predicted, accurately, that his murder would spark the restriction of gun rights. Lawmakers took his bait. On March 15th, our history changed forever. Now our laws will too, Ardern said as she carried out the will of this terrorist. We're announcing action today on behalf of all New Zealanders to strengthen our gun laws and make our country a safer place. Now, you know as well as I do that this does not make people safer. What this does is expose you to any criminal, call him a terrorist, call him a criminal, call them whatever you want to. What this does is it makes you vulnerable to the actions of another individual that's hell-bent on doing you physical or bodily harm. Okay? Which is the next one, the notch down from murder. Now, she goes on to say, what we're banning today are the things used in last Friday's attack. It's about all of us. It's in the national interest, and it's about safety. Whose safety? The individual? No, that's what the state's pretending it's about. According to the new report from the New Zealand Herald, however, I guess the people down there feel safer by holding on to their guns. I'm shocked. It's estimated that roughly 250,000 people, a quarter of a million people, own the recently banned semi-automatic weapons in New Zealand. Estimates show that these 250,000 of these gun owners down there who were turned into criminals overnight by their own government own around 300,000 firearms. Since the government attempted to disarm these 250,000 people, only 530 guns have been actually turned in. Now, government officials are attributing the lack of gun turn-ins. God, you know, it's true. It's true in this country, and it's true in Australia. It's true in New Zealand. It's true around the world. When a politician's lips are moving, he's lying. Okay? This is their position here. They're attributing the lack of gun turn-ins to citizens wanting to be properly compensated for their weapons. However, the complexity of this situation is likely far different. Yeah, you bet it is. If they're being serious about their considerations and ensuring that there will be fair and reasonable compensation, then firearm owners will wait a bit longer to make sure it's just and fair when it's received. And that's according to Nicole McKee, Secretary of Council of Licensed Firearm Owners, she told the New Zealand Herald. We are effectively being punished for the acts of a foreign terrorist, and we want to make sure that our personal and private property is adequately compensated when it's confiscated, she said. This is not what's going on at all. But in reality, the people don't want to disarm themselves, as this is their only defense against these terrorists. Or isn't it amazing that he transformed the ordinary criminal and just calling them terrorists? They're all terrorists. Sure, people don't simply want to be robbed of their property without compensation. However, there's no amount of money that can compensate somebody into being defenseless. Or I'll go a step further. Dead. How's that one? As the TFTP has previously noted, depending on how current government, life in disarmed societies can go on peacefully for a while. However, in some cases, citizens, men, women, and children are slaughtered by millions of corrupt government officials, and criminals become the only ones to have guns. You know, just because they got a badge on and a uniform and they proclaim they're here to help, really? Down here in Texas, I got to tell you something. Down here in Texas, folks, the cops, guns in houses, they see that as your right, and it's one of self-protection. I witnessed this on my own street I used to live on. A neighbor lady was driving home, and there was this angry driver that didn't like what she was doing and followed her home. She got out of her car, walked in her house, grabbed her gun. Didn't walk outside with it, but grabbed her gun. Well, cops show up. They give this guy a lecture and go, you know, she's within her rights. You know, you go on her property, and she's telling you to move. She's within her rights. And even went as far as to say, you know, it wasn't crossing the threshold of the house itself. It was being on the property. If you're threatening and intimidating and you're on that property, she could shoot you. I heard a Round Rock cop say that. I was just absolutely amazed. At any rate, back to the story. Let me finish this and get back to the callers. Now, even when gun control seems to work in short term, the scapegoatists are never satisfied. As we're seeing in the United Kingdom, politicians are now going after knives as the evil weapon of choice that no law-abiding citizen should ever need. And they even have boxes over there that you can anonymously drop your evil knife in. Simply put, guns in the hands of good people level the playing field against guns in the hands of bad people. It's that stupidly simple. As this tragic case illustrates, bad guys will always have access to guns, even if you use laws to disarm them. Now, this protectionist attitude of taking guns from law-abiding citizens to keep guns from criminals is stupid and most ineffective, self-serving, one-sided, and ignores the benefits of an armed society as well as history itself. And it only serves to further the oppression of those who cannot defend themselves. While it would certainly be an amazing thought to be able to live in a world without guns, that is simply not the case. Until it is the case, anyone who wants to defend themselves and their family should be able to do so in any manner they see fit, as the only other option is tyranny. We're for the government, we're here to help, and if you don't comply, we're here to kill you. Aren't you feeling warm and fuzzy now? Fred in Michigan. Fred?
John.
Fred.
Good story. And I'm thinking advocating for promoting gun ownership and marksmanship. Most people forget that in the Olympics, there are shooting sports events with rifles and handguns, and of course shotguns. So that's a great way to promote patriot home defense, patriot personal defense.
And I'm sorry, Fred, am I missing something here? I mean, how does this help in that regard?
By acclimating the communitarian sheeple who have been deliberately dumbed down by as Michael Hoffman calls it, the satanic Talmudic Kabbalah Zohar Judaic system.
Okay, Fred, it's not going to help you quoting somebody else.
Michael Hoffman, see, this woman in New Zealand, what do you want to bet? John, I'll say Sir John. What do you want to bet this woman is from what I say Israel? She's a transplant installed operative from Israel, just like Trump. Trump, it's okay to ban 5G, 6G, yada yada in Palm Beach County, Florida. It's okay to banned in Israel, like fluoride. Did you know that fluoride?
Okay, Fred, we're covering too many things, and I can't comment when you do a shotgun approach to stuff. So let's stay on one topic and vet the thought out thoroughly here.
All right, well, you're right. Mark Scott, Mr. Excelsior, Marine Corps vet in Michigan, in many of his broadcasts, he elucidated the fact that on a daily basis, thousands upon thousands of people across America defend themselves by virtue of presenting and racking the action. And I'll tell the audience, the best action to rack is a pump action. Okay? And anyhow, that is never reported, publicized. They defend themselves without firing a shot. They rack the action, and they tell the would-be perpetrator, get out of here, or you're dead meat.
You know what's even, Fred, and to further that point, the scariest thing for a criminal and a wannabe murderer that gets in your house and say that they're breaking in the night season, I always like that term. In the night season, leaves fall off the tree or something. I don't know. But the one thing that a criminal or a would-be murderer hates to hear in a darkened house, especially when they can't see where it's coming from, is that unmistakable sound of that shotgun being racked. It is the most intimidating sound you will ever hear.
And you know what, John? I did some due diligence. And when you eyeball, say a 20 gauge slug, Hornady, I'm going to be picking up a Browning pump action bottom ejection, but it's a dedicated deer rifle, you know, rifle barrel.
Mm-hmm.
20 gauge has very minimal recoil. Woman can handle it, you know, 12 year old, no problem, man. But it's dead on accurate, and that slug immediately expands. It's a one-shot, one-kill. You know, they're gone. You hit them with that. So, exploded gunpowder is one of the most wonderfully odoriferous scents you can experience, exploded gun power. So I encourage everyone to explore that opportunity. And Ed in Iowa, I want to commend Ed, but you know what, John? The real 44 cal equalizer here is to acquire, by going through the Attorney General, the MSO. The MSO is integral to the purchase agreement of a new car truck. And when they fail to provide in full disclosure and good faith that that document is a true valid ownership title, and then they forward it secretly, transfer it to the DMV, Secretary of State, that's fraud. Then they call that a privilege to drive your own property, which they have now converted into a commercial entity known as a motor vehicle. This is all fraud. Then they say, well, you got to pay this tax or fee for registration, et cetera. Well, that's extortion, because they never provided the opportunity for informed consent via full disclosure and good faith. So people just call the Attorney General, hey, let's clean this record. Let's save face. Let's, get it right. Okay, somebody messed up. I want you to, here's my VIN number. This is the identifying number for the MSO. You get it for me and send it to me, okay? And we can wipe the record clean. Once you're in possession of that, it's no longer their claim of priority interest. They call holder in due course, well, priority interest rights. They no longer can dictate, okay? That's why the certificate of title is simply, by definition, the evidentiary proof that there is a true valid ownership title somewhere. Oh, yeah, the state of Michigan. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. So that's how simple it is. It's all basic, in this case, implied consent. Operation of law, the act of complying, either out of coercion or abject ignorance, they presumed is implied consent, and we're going along with it, and we want the privilege of driving, rather than traveling by right in our private property. See how convoluted, how insanely nefarious,
Fred,
and exploitative this is?
Fred, do you remember, and this was 20, it was over 25 years ago, there was a case in Michigan where the the licensing, the Secretary of State, there you go, in
John,
Michigan.
John, I'll give you the exact name. It's Stephen L. Turner versus State of Michigan. Stephen L. Turner v. State of Michigan. It was Independence Township, Oakland County, 1988, May. He got pulled over by deputy dogs because he had no valid registration plates. And turns out his license had been suspended, yada, yada. They arrested him, impounded the car. District court slam dunked. He appealed to circuit court. And that circuit court judge reversed the lower court, district court decision on the basis that this man had no contract with the state of Michigan. Everything had expired or had been suspended. Therefore, none of this applied to him, and he walked.
And what this would have done, and I'll tell you, the Secretary of State went crazy up there, because they were, in fact, leaning towards, the licensing, that was only to be for commercial endeavors. Taxi drivers, delivery trucks, on and on. If you were involved in commerce, the state had a right to peek into the safety and this and that and the efficacy and on and on it goes. Well, that thing stalled because the point was brought up. And the question I always had, this is supposed to be traffic violations or civil infractions. Well, what gives the state a right to lock people up in jail, kidnap them off the street, and lock them up in jail for a civil infraction? You think about that. And what really scared them and why they jumped, they were going down a road that was going to cost a lot of states a lot of money. because it would eventually have ruled that, well, all the past, going back so many years, all the people that are arrested for not complying with the state driver license rules and regulations and all this other, they realized a lot of these states would have had to been coughing up billions and billions of dollars to make restitution for the people that they illegally took the money from in the first place.
That's right.
Hey, Fred, I appreciate the call, man. I'm not cringing anymore when you call in.
That's a good thing.
Excelsior, my friend.
Excelsior. Bravo.
All right, we'll see you.
What goes up must come down.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked.
Had to take a potty break for a couple of puppies. It's a two-man operation. At any rate, just go ahead and put the call through. Art? Go ahead, Art.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
I want to make two comments. The first one is in response to, Fred,
mm-hmm.
the previous caller. I kind of take issue with this concept of using the Olympics as a and their sporting event as a way to get people used to, you know, anti-gunners to come around to the gun side, because that plays into the whole sporting argument of the left.
And that, Art, that's what I was thinking, and that's when I had to slow him down by bringing up too many scatter points, because I actually wanted to comment on that. Because what did Bill Clinton say? Oh, well, firearms, you know, for sporting purposes is okay. They said the same thing in England as they took everybody's guns away. You had to have the things locked up. You had to be supervised at a range and all this other stuff. Yeah, the sporting issue, guns are not for sporting purposes. They can be, but that's not the intent of a firearm. A firearm's use and intent of that mechanism is to kill or maim, period. It's not sporting. Nothing sporting about it.
Yeah, because, I mean, we need to make sure that when we talk about the Second Amendment, this is not about sporting, Fred. This is about the ability to resist tyranny. And there's only one way to resist tyranny, and that is by having the ability to kill the tyrant when he comes knocking on your door.
You know,
this is not about Special Olympics or anything like that.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it's the step and fetchings that'll catch the lead and not the people responsible for putting those people in those positions.
Right.
Yeah.
And the other thing I wanted to comment on was the article you were reading from. I don't know if anyone else caught this, but I'm surprised, John, that you let it slide, because I know good and well you caught it. You just didn't say anything. And I give you credit for, I know you caught this, when it said they wanted to be sure that they were properly compensated when their guns were confiscated.
Well, I did make a comment about it, and I go, yeah, sure. The government,
okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, seriously, I'm sorry, but if they're confiscating your gun, you're not getting compensated for it.
No, and
I think it's more of a case that these people are like, screw you, I'm keeping my guns.
And if you lose your life, how do you then protest? Because I don't know too many corpses that walk into a court to complain or write a letter to their government officials or whatever the case may be.
And just kind of throw this out at you, something maybe you can look into, because I remember you were talking about the battle that was fought against the traffic cams.
Yeah.
There's this new machine. It's
but before you move on to that, while we're on the Second Amendment thing, this is timely to do, and people have heard this before. We all remember Susanna Hupp.
Yep.
She's a doctor.
Yep.
And it's the best. Sam?
Was that Houston?
Hold on. No, that was down here. Gosh. I'm sorry? I thought you said the city. No. I just wanted to bring him down because I wanted to tell him, just hold that thought, because I want to play this Susanna Hupp. She gave testimony in front of Congress on what the Second Amendment is all about. And this nonsense, even Chuck Schumer was sitting there he was listening to every word this woman was saying. He didn't have a whole lot of negative things to say because he was being confronted by a woman that had lost her parents in 1991 at a Luby's down here in Texas, when it was still the law that you couldn't carry a firearm. You had to have it properly secured or locked up in your car, but you couldn't take it, you couldn't carry it with you, okay? And this is the testimony that she gave in front of Congress, and she points out it's not about sporting or hunting or anything like that. This is well worth listening to again. The best testimony I've ever heard in front of these Congress critters.
Just let me make sure that you understand I'm not here representing the NRA. I'm not even a member. Okay? Secondly, I'd like to say that in your opening statements, you commented specifically on my testimony, saying that basically it had nothing to do with this issue. And I had to chuckle because then I noticed you had Mr. Brady up here who was hit not with an assault weapon, but with a .22 caliber revolver. So getting beyond that, I didn't grow up in a house with guns. I don't hunt. I personally abhor hunting. But I was given a gun by a friend when I was 21 to carry in my purse for self-defense, and I was taught how to use it. A couple of years ago, my parents and I went to a cafeteria in Texas on a bright sunny day. We weren't in a dark alley where we weren't supposed to be. And as you all know the story, this madman drove his truck through the window. And he began shooting. Well, immediately, my father and I got down on the floor and put the table up in front of us. And this guy kept shooting. And you're thinking, well, you know, what could it be? Is it a robbery? That's the first thing that generally comes to mind. And he keeps shooting. It took me a good 45 seconds to realize that this man wasn't there to commit a robbery. He wasn't there for a hit. He was there to simply shoot as many people as he possibly could. Now, I'd like to make something clear. I hear all this talk about how many bullets can go in a clip. I've been there. I can tell you it doesn't matter. It takes 1 second to switch out a clip. You can have one bullet or 100 bullets. It doesn't matter, guys. I've been there. He goes, dump, dump, just like that. That's not enough time to rush a man. I promise you. When I finally realized what was occurring, I thought, I got him. And I reached for my purse. He was maybe 12 feet away. You know, is it possible my gun could have jammed? Sure. Is it possible I could have missed? Sure. But I can tell you I've hit much smaller targets at much greater distances. But then I realized that a couple of months earlier I had made the stupidest decision of my life. I took my gun out of my purse and left it in my car. Because as you well know, in the state of Texas, it's sometimes a felony offense to carry a gun in your purse. I can tell you that I'm not mad at the guy that did this. As he continued, it was obvious that he was a madman. My father, at that point, said, I've got to do something. I've got to do something. He's going to kill everybody in here. And he rushed the man. No way. The guy turned, shot him in the chest. He went down, was obviously mortally wounded. For whatever reason, that made the man change directions and go off to my left. Shortly thereafter, someone at the back of the restaurant broke out a window. When I saw what looked like an opportunity to escape, I turned around and I grabbed my mother by the shirt and I said, come on, come on, we've got to run, we've got to get out of here. And then my feet grew wings and I was out the back window. As soon as I got out, I realized that my mother had not followed me out. And as I learned from the police officers, she had crawled over to where my father was and cradled him until the guy got back around to her, put the gun to her head. She looked up at him, put her head down, and he pulled the trigger. My parents had just had their 47th wedding anniversary. She wasn't going anywhere. As I mentioned, I'm not really mad at the guy that did this, and I'm certainly not mad at the guns that did this. They didn't walk in there by themselves and pull their own triggers. The guy that did it was a lunatic. That's like being mad at a rabid dog. I'm mad at my legislators for legislating me out of the right to protect myself and my family. I would much rather be sitting in jail with a felony offense on my head and have my parents alive. As far as these so-called assault weapons, you say that they don't have any defense use. You tell that to the guy that I saw on a videotape of the L.A. riots, standing up on his rooftop, protecting his property and his life from an entire mob with one of these so-called assault weapons. Tell me that he didn't have a legitimate self-defense use. Just one final statement. I've been sitting here getting more and more fed up with all of this talk about these pieces of machinery having no legitimate sporting purpose, no legitimate hunting purpose. People, that is not the point of the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment is not about duck hunting. And I know I'm not going to make very many friends saying this, but it's about our right, all of our rights, to be able to protect ourselves from all of you guys up there.
Hallelujah, and pass the ammunition. That was the best statement I've ever heard on the fallacy of hunting or sporting, don't you think?
Absolutely. I mean, I've got, you know, I've got a shotgun, I've got a 22 rifle, I've got six pistols, and people are like, you don't need that many guns. I don't care what I need, whether I need them or not. I want them, and I feel awful damn safe with them. You know, and if you get in my house, I feel real bad for you, because if you get past the dog, you know, I've got a whole selection in here that I can play with, and one of them's going to get you. I don't care. I'm not playing this game. I believe in the castle doctrine, and if you come on my property, I own this property. You got no business being out here. Now, you come out here messing around, you came looking for trouble, and I'm going to give it to you. I may spend the rest of my life behind bars, but I make damn sure when I go in there, everybody knows why I'm in there.
You know, this is what's always left out of the discussion. That also was not in that piece about New Zealand, the compensation thing and all that fruity mumbo-jumbo. Yeah. Means absolutely nothing. Because this, when the government makes the statement that we need to keep people safe, this does exactly 180 degrees. It does the exact opposite of what they're claiming. It does not make you safer.
Especially when we got the Supreme Court of, I forget where it was, that said the police have no duty to protect.
That's the United States.
The police have no,
they're not being bound to be the private security people. For theirs is the protection of property. That's it.
And here's another one. Law enforcement? No, if they were enforcing laws, we wouldn't have the crime. When seconds count, cops are minutes away.
Yeah. I don't call 911. You know what? I can't ever
call 911.
I can't ever remember calling 911 because
I don't call 911.
I used to have a little sign. It's hanging in my office where it was posted by the front door that if you didn't see it walking in, you certainly saw it walking out. It said, around here we don't call 911. And that's a statement that unless you inquire exactly what does that mean, if you don't get it by that statement, well, and then I made a little addition to it. That they only show up sometimes between death and rigor mortis. If they even show up at all. There are some crime-ridden areas in major metropolitan. They don't show up. They just don't show up. So the police are there. They're the cleanup crews. That's what they do. There's an accident. They come out. They do a report. Check everybody's bona fides. Get medical attention if needed. And that's it. But they only show up after the mayhem ensues. They're the afterthought. Where are they? I've said this before. I'll give up all my guns. I'll give up the Second Amendment if they'll guarantee every citizen in this country a 24-hour, 24/7 armed guard. That it's his duty to take care of any, let's say, people with ill intent against my beautiful little body. Art, thank you for your call. I got to move on here. Kevin in Washington. Hello, Kevin.
All right, let me start my Friday rant with this. We live in a republic, not a democracy. We have an inherent right given to us by the Almighty God, not by a human. Okay? And we're not victims in any of this. We're volunteers in it. And to go back to the Wednesdays when Joyce used to be on, with the state owning your vehicle, if people would just, every time there was a problem with your vehicle, you just sent the state a bill with a registered letter and just send them the bill. And then that leads me to the last thing, which is the scariest part that they fear the most. When those Montana freemen were doing their thing about the separation and all the rest of it, the one thing that the federal government feared the most is that they went around the court system and they asked for a bondable decision, which meant they didn't go to court, they went down to the auditor's office, and they filed liens against people, And for $19 or whatever your county charges for a lien, they were able to put liens against people, even from prison, which the system has no way to get rid of once it goes in because it's recorded. And that's what drove the government nuts about them. And that's what people need to do. Don't go to court. Send a letter of intent to lien to somebody. When they don't respond in 30 days, go on down to the courthouse and file a lien against them. And then when they go to try to get credit, try to do something, there's going to be that thing there, and that goes back to the automobiles, like Joyce used to say with her story. If they want to own it, then they can own all the repairs and the rest of it.
They can take on the financial responsibility because the state is already declared by them keeping the original title to your vehicle. What that is, folks, they're using that as a demonstrable asset, a physical asset owned by the state. And I miss Joyce Rosenwald. I miss those
guys. John, you really owe it to your audience to someday take some time and tell that story. She was an amazing woman.
Yes, she was.
Used to come on with you, and I really miss her. I mean, those were the days I called in. I was a Wednesday caller, and of course, Peter and his goofy stuff. But but Joyce, that story and the rest of it, I'm telling you, that your audience, we are not victims. We are volunteering to all of this stuff. And if we would just take our rights back, and we don't have to separate, we don't have to do anything else. We live in a republic. We're already granted this stuff by the Almighty God, whether you believe in it or not. It was written in the Constitution, and it doesn't get any more pure than that, and that's the way it is. And I'll leave it at this, John. I'll say one last thing, okay? And the crowd yelled, "Give us Barabbas."
Give us Barabbas.
Thank you for your time, John. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate your call. Let me go to Miles in Maine. Hello, Miles.
Good afternoon, John. You know, I like the statement, "Your trailblazer made better," the other statement.
Okay, which is?
Time for another tea party.
Yeah. Well, and unfortunately, this has been going on for so long from generation to generation that we find ourselves in the place today that, well, you heard the guy say it. You know, you volunteered to be a victim. But many people don't understand that, and they don't know it because they're not really familiar with the rights and duties of the citizenry versus the rights and duties of the government. And here we have we have them spelled out, and we're reacquainting ourselves. We went on a long vacation. We did a Rip Van Winkle for 100 plus years, and we decided to let the government, since they were in a position, they sought office, they sought to be representatives of we the people, supposedly under the Constitution, and we just left them alone to do their deeds. And again, you want to become a victim? Just let politicians go unchecked for a number of years and see what the result is. We've seen it in this country, Miles, which is unlike any other place on this planet. It was about the individual and protecting that individual's freedom and liberty, and not letting the government step on that one individual, because if they stepped on the one individual, they could step on multiple individuals. And that was the whole point, not to do it. It was right. A do-not-do list.
And Fred did a nice job recalling, two things, Deus Ex Machina, Mark Scott, but also the decision by Judge Hilda Gage in Oakland County, which just absolutely astounded the entire state. However, they should have capitalized on that. People should have came into court and started citing that decision over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing I'd like to bring up here, John, is, you know, the gentleman spoke of Joyce Greenwald.
Rosenwald, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you who I'd like to hear on maybe the days where you're having a repeat or somebody's not able to take your place. And the guy, I would go out of my mind to hear, and I know you've got the entire library, John. I know you hold the keys, and that's Jack Otto.
Mm. Gosh.
I'd hear a Jack Otto replay 7 days a week.
Jack was a pretty amazing guy. He and I were close friends, and it hurt. I made the mistake, and it wasn't so much really as a mistake as it was that it was not good radio. I filled in for his Saturday, I believe it was Saturday show, the week after he died, and I was just blubbering. I couldn't keep it together. It just broke my heart. It broke my heart.
Yeah.
Which, by the way,
I'm going to leave you with this.
Okay, Miles.
I'm going to leave you with this, and I know this is going to probably go. It goes to my heart. I know it's going to probably go straight to yours. I see a lot of Jack Otto in you every day, and my God, where he's at, do you know? I know how proud he is of you, and I'm going to leave you with that, and I hope you have a great weekend, and everybody to keep these memories and this spirit up. Don't forget RBN, please.
Yeah.
God bless.
Miles, let me ask you a question before you go. You're familiar with Mark Scott and court cases. You're from Michigan?
Well, I've got a little bit of travel all around me, and one day I'll talk to you about that. I'd love to.
But at one point in time, you were in Michigan, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Because not too many people, when you say Mark Scott, not too many people know who you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, DSX McKean. I knew Mark. He was something, too. But you guys even kept him straight and, I think, gave him a good education.
We sure did.
You know me. John, I've known you since 94, and I've known Jack, and I've known all of them. I remember hearing you start on radio, and you were great. And when you went into this, I said, it's going to be the best network we ever had, and you've done nothing but make it great. But, people, we've got to compound this. And we've got to keep the greatness up, and we've got to keep the greatness going forward. So we've got to donate. It's incumbent upon us. That's all we have.
I appreciate the sentiments, Miles. Thank you very much.
We'll see you, John. God bless. Have a great weekend. Okay, keep up the fantastic work.
You do the same. Thank you very much. Yeah, yep. Jack, Mark Kornke. I said, you know what? I'm getting a little tired of. We need to do our own radio. This is crazy. And Kornke never thought I could pull it off. And he asked Jack Otto, he said, what do you think about John's idea about starting a network? And Jack looked at him and he says, what makes you think he can't do it? And Mark stopped and he said, well, I don't know if he can or he can't. He says, why don't you be supportive if he wants to do it? Let him do it. Well, and that was many, 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 many years ago. Yeah, every once in a while I still think of Jack, and I think about the day that I first met Jack Otto. We had a guy that worked at Designs and Textiles, drove a motorcycle, and he was always showing me stuff. He'd every once in a while bring me a piece of paper and say, did you see this? No, I didn't see that, Donnie. Didn't see that. And I'd promptly walk into my office. I was busy concentrating on work, quality of the product, sales, you know, the usual thing when you work for somebody. And I'd promptly walk into my office. My little round file sat right next to my desk, and I deposited in the round file, never to be seen or read. And just one day, I was particularly stressed out, and, you know, here comes another, you know, did you say this? And I thought, okay, I'm going to put a stop to this crap. I'm tired of this. When you should be thinking nothing about your job and the job performance and the quality of your product, and, you know, we don't have that. So I set out to prove this guy wrong. And the more I tried to prove him wrong, the only thing that I did was prove him to be correct. Well, he said, you know, I'm not a great communicator, so, you know, do you mind if a friend of mine comes over and he'll explain it? He's much better at this. And, well, Jack Otto showed up on a Sunday afternoon. Oh, you're the guy. Oh, come on in. Oh, I'm Jack Otto. I'm John Stadtmiller. How you doing? He had his little briefcase replete with videos. This is when we had VHSs, folks. And he had paperwork, and he sat down. And for 8 hours, I think we had maybe one coffee break and two bathroom breaks. It was because, I guess, of the coffee break. But for 8 hours. Now, here it is, 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. Jack stands up, and he says, look, he says, I got to teach school tomorrow. I got to be up bright and early, so I got to go. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm staring at this guy. Now, what he showed me and what he told me, what he demonstrated, I just stood up and I shook his hand and I looked him square in his eye and I said, Jack, thank you, but I don't know whether to kick you or kiss you. And that was the start of yours truly. It was under the tutelage and guidance of a good guy that never knew the meaning of back down and always push back. Chance in West Virginia will make you the last call after this break. I skipped the one at the bottom of the hour. We'll do that to finish up this Friday edition of the National Intel Report.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Big John. Every morning at the mine you could see him arrive. He stood 6'6" and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John.
We are back. Chance in West Virginia. Hello, Chance.
Hello, John. Yeah, I remember Jack Otto myself. How long ago was it when he passed away?
Oh, man, you're going to test my memory here. I'm going to say probably about seven or eight years ago.
Yeah, it seems kind of right.
Yeah.
When I called you last night, John, I mentioned Rick Tyler. I don't know if you've had the opportunity to check him out, but he's running under the American Freedom Party platform.
Mm.
If you want to check it out, you could, on the internet, you could check out the AmericanFreedomParty.us. Like I said, he had that Voice of Liberty show on the shortwave years back. You'll probably recognize him.
You know, here, Chance, I'm all for independent people popping up and running for office, but, you know, when I see this kind of stuff happening, I remember Howard, what was his name, Constitution Party.
Howard Phillips.
Yeah, Howard Phillips. Howard looked more like a boxer than he did presidential material, because everybody's hung up on how you look on the outside, not really what's on your inside. But the parties, and this is why I talk about the Genoveses and the Guidos, because they're going to fight with each other. They'll kill each other's lieutenants and street thugs. And, you know, but if you present an issue to their crime and their syndicate, they will gather together. The sworn enemies will gather together to repel that external threat. And that's how independent people running for president, which now it takes a lot of money to do, millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars to run for president of the country, but it's always ineffectual. And yeah, it makes people feel good by virtue of the fact that they have the ability to cast the vote for other than the hand-picked people that are presented as candidates for a particular office, in this case, president. And it is all fine and dandy, and it all sounds very good, but it doesn't have a ghost chance in hell.
Well, John, if I didn't have total faith in him, I wouldn't even mention his name.
No, I know, and I'm not questioning, you know, the man's a good man. I'm sure that he is. That's not the point. The point is that rather than holding the Democrats, Republicans, Independents, whatever, Libertarians, I don't care what stripe or what pigeonhole they park themselves in, I'm for these people holding them to their oath of office to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America.
Well, Rick Tyler would. I don't believe in this two-party system anymore. You know, I can't see pulling a lever for a Democrat. Well,
but, okay, I don't believe in a third or fourth or fifth party either. You know, to be honest with you, I don't know why we have two different parties anyhow. There's an office.
Well, at this point,
you know, there's an office. You're seeking that office. You're seeking to be a representative of the people in whatever district and whatever state, blah, 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 blah. You know, I get all of that. And now they've just turned this into a political game that has divided people. You look at the media now, you cannot tune into Fox News without hearing 92% day in and day out, politics, 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 and the opinion of this person on this political, and, you know, what's the audience opinion on this person's opinion about our opinion? I mean, it's a complete waste of time. Hold their feet to the constitutional fire. We're never going to be able to overturn these clowns with a third party, ever. But Chance, I appreciate you wishing in the wishing well. I really do.
Well, maybe not. God bless and have a good weekend, John.
Thank you, Chance. And please, people, don't take that as I'm shooting down, you know. No, I want my constitutional republic back. Thank you very much.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting.